Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com, at G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. Thank God for all of you who's listening. Hey, wherever you listen to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves before you. And we thank you, Lord, for this day you have blessed us to assemble together. And dear Lord, we ask this day, Lord God, that you will bless us as we go into this message tonight. And Father, I pray that you will word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name in Jesus' name, to give you all the glory and to magnify you, and to rightly divide your word. So Heavenly Father, once again, we glorify you and thank you for blessing us to assemble together once again in the name of Jesus Christ. All glory and honor and praise go unto you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank God for all of you listening. I want to start off once again. For those of you that listened to the broadcast last night, I read a couple of scriptures before I went into what I had to go into. I'm going to read approximately three of them tonight before I go into what I'm going into tonight, which is really a part two to what I opened with last night. The first scripture is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. If you have your Bibles, I ask that you would turn along with me because, hey, I like to put people's eyes on the word, okay? Not just you just sitting and listening and hearing me talk all the time. I like to put your eyes on the word because my job is to point you to put in your faith in the word and not in Brother Nate. Amen. So Luke chapter 6, verse 38. For those of you that don't have a Bible, hey, just listen along with us. Hey, if you got a pencil and paper, write it down. Okay. Go back and look for yourself. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. The word of God says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." That is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, amen. And the word of God says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And now let's go to one more. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Glory be to God. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, the word said, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again? Now, the title, once again, of this message is Lending to the Poor, which I said last night it should have been Pity Upon the Poor, even though that involves you lending or giving to them. And you giving unto them, you're, quote, you know, giving unto the Lord. And the purpose of this message, for those of you that heard me in part one, you understand the purpose of the message to, you know, somewhat. But those of you who are first-time listeners, the purpose of this message that I wanted to talk to you guys about was that sowing seed. Now, of course, you know, sowing seed is not always money. Let's get that straight, okay? It's not always – sowing is not always money, you know. It can be your time, okay? Or it can be even material things that you give to people. It not always have to be money. But I'm talking in this aspect of you giving the material things and sowing money, but talking about is doing it with the love of God. Doing it with the love of God. You know, some people, have you ever had somebody to give you something, but, you know, they may have gave it, but really they didn't want to give you nothing, you know. In other words, it wasn't with no concern or love for you or care. They just give it, hey, y'all get out of my way, you know, like that. And what I've been talking about, you know, the Word of God tells us how to be blessed financially. In fact, the Lord told us in Deuteronomy, it is him that give us the power to get wealth. Now, of course, I know people have sow seed and their different, you know, what, personal businesses and stuff like that, and have gotten off, you know, which I understand that that's part. But another part, and when I say this, I'm not saying you to do this just so you can get money. That's the other thing I want you to explain. But another part in keeping financial blessings flowing into your home is by you, quote, having pity upon the poor. Having pity upon the poor. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And as I shared with you guys yesterday, and I've done before, about the testimony of where the Lord really put me on the road to seeing, to sowing seed, especially financially. Because I will always have this kind of complaint. Oh, Lord, I want to sow. I want to help. And really, it was in my heart to want to help, but I had an excuse that I shouldn't have had none, okay? And I was like thinking in my mind that I had to have a lot of money or so much big amount of money to do it. And see, the Lord had to straighten me out and show me, you know, no, you don't. And the Lord had to show me this, even though I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you have to bless me with a large financial blessing for me to give. And the Lord let me know, no, start off with what you get, what you got, and you give from there. And the Lord said, I will add to that, that you may give more. Okay? But see, people got to understand, there has to be a start somewhere. And see, some of you waiting for a big bank to fall out of heaven or through the sky and hit you, and you have money flowing everywhere so you can, quote, help people. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen like that. There has to be a starting point. You don't have to start off big. Start off with what you can do, what you can give, okay? And the Lord, not only did he bless me in my heart to give, but to give with love. Now, that's the thing, because when you are giving with love, it brings joy in your heart to see someone happy or they need met, because God was able to use you to bless them. You understand what I'm saying? See, I've heard different people through the years say, you know, for example, I heard certain people say, well, I don't want to be filthy rich. I just want to be comfortable. Okay. Now, that's the comment. I just want to be comfortable. Now, people, I used to think that way before I got saved, when I was like a teenager, and me and my best friend, me and him walking around, we talking about it. But in that statement, I noticed I was just thinking about what? Me. Like the statement says, I just want to be comfortable. Well, I started thinking about that more now since I got saved, And I started thinking about, you know, Lord, I would like to have a lot of money to help people more, not only to fulfill my need, but to help meet people more. Okay? You get that? Remember we read a minute ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. There's the two of sparingly and bountifully. There are some people, and some of you, so it might be some of you that's listening, you think that giving something one time is enough. And you and with that giving a one time, you think that covers your whole resume of you being a person giving. Amen. You will be surprised at some Christians you hear. When you bring up about giving or sowing seed or giving like that, they'd be like, well, you know, I gave. Well, many of them, when they say that, they only did it one time, okay? And the Lord said, you sow sparingly, you shall what? Reap sparingly, okay? Amen. See, many of the Christians don't have on their mind to be a continuous sower. Now, I'm talking about constantly sowing. And let's say we're talking about money in different areas. Now, I'm not saying don't be unwise and just throwing yourself everywhere, you know, but I'm saying being able to help continuously. Because you got to understand that there are people out there who don't have what you have. And get this. Do you know some of the people are poor because, get this, they're Christians. You said, now, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Some of the people are poor because they're Christian. Look in the other countries. Okay? Many of them are withheld food and other things, other necessities, because they are Christian. Some of them are Christians in Muslim countries, and you name it. Okay? See, this is what here in America, and I said on part one yesterday, and I was explaining and talking about, see, we haven't fathomed that kind of thought yet. See, we ain't good old America. We can't, for some reason, we can't compute that. And see, here we're preaching any day we can be raptured and snatched up and gone. While our brothers and sisters in these other countries who are standing as being called a Christian, at the same time being persecuted, having food and necessities withheld from them, not because of their color, not because of their gender, but because their status as being a born-again believer. And people, we in America haven't faced that status yet. And once again, like I said in part one yesterday, I say yet with quotation marks around. And you got some Americans right now saying, I don't think the United States going to get like that. Okay, hold on. That's all I got to tell you. Hold on. I'm not going to argue with you about it. Hold on. Because apparently you're not seeing how these laws are going in this country. You're not... Because, see, too many of us as Christians, we're asleep. We are what the older folks used to say, purity sleep. We're asleep. And all we holding on to say, any day I'll be snatched up. Well, guess what? Look how bad Corona was. None of us were snatched up. None of us were snatched up. If we're talking about any day we can be gone, how come we wouldn't snatch up when the Corona hit? When nobody snatched up. What we're seeing is, when we're talking about caught up, one of our problems is we put it in the wrong timing. Yes, the Bible said we would be caught up. It definitely said that, and I stand for that. But here's what we messed up at. We have used that scripture as a scapegoat to say, oh, we're not going to go through a great tribulation. Oh, we won't see the Antichrist. Because we have read in the scriptures that when the Antichrist is revealed, how a very challenging to the faith time that is going to be. And some of us are saying, hey, I ain't got what it takes to stand. I can't make it. So what do we do? Oh, we're going to be snatched up anytime now. And so we have told others who have wrapped their heart around this. You know why? Because they see how tough things have gotten now. And they just holding on to that. Oh, Lord, I'm glad you come in any day and snatch me. But we ain't going nowhere. Oh, amen. Now, I know some of you as believers may have got offended at what I say. I'm not purposely trying to hurt my brothers and sisters in Christ, but I got to be truthful with you. Caught up is not mean that you're going to avoid great tribulation, okay? And that we're going to have easy pickings over here while our brothers and sisters over there is suffering what they're suffering for what? The name of Jesus' sake. Do you see how we're making God out to be? We're making God out to be a biased God. Like he said, okay, those of you that name my name in these other countries, oh, you're going to suffer getting arms and head cut off and being threatened and all that. But y'all over here in this great old country, America, you can go out there on the beach and just let the wind blow through your hair and say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Y'all going to have it good over here. And then on top of that, I'm going to come and get you at any time that you wouldn't have to go through nothing greater. See, over there in the other countries, get this, many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord are facing great tribulation over there. Do you hear that? They're facing it. Amen. We're talking about, and I read to you guys, and I'm going to read a little bit more from it. From, you know, I told you guys one of the places I sow seed to is Open Doors USA. And they get Bibles to people, Christians, or people in the other countries who can't get it. Okay? Especially some of them that got to be underground. Because their countries serve another God, and they find out they're Christian, they'll try to kill them. And so they sent me a book called Presence, one of their magazines. In fact, like I told you guys, this is the second one they sent. On this second one, I really started looking at more like what sowing or lending to the poor, especially the poor who is poor because they're being persecuted because of the name of Jesus, how a blessing it is. And any believer who has the love of God in his heart that is out just to sow the seed to help like that, it will bring joy to your spirit. It will. And get this, it will make you want to be a continuous seed sower. You hear what I'm saying? See, like I said, some of us, some of you that's listening, you think because you gave one time, your resume is full now. And now you get offended when you hear about someone say, well, I gave. Yeah, many of them that say I gave mean one time, okay? But you, like I said, they resume full now because they gave it one time. Amen. See, the Lord is teaching us, that's another way he's teaching us how to walk in love, how not to be just all out selfish. Like I said, some of us are thinking about, oh, I just want to live comfortable. Yeah, because you're thinking about you, okay? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to tell you something. Yeah, I would like a lot of money. But see, going on the fifth year, the Lord has really dealt in my heart about having a care for other people. I know I can't give to everybody. That's why I've got other brothers and sisters in the vineyard, okay? But to do what I can. Yes, it would be a blessing to take care of my needs too, but not just my needs. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I sense the Holy Ghost, people. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost behind that. Amen. One of our problems is we thinking about me too much and not others. Amen. I remember, and actually, when I look at it, go back almost a little bit, about 6 years, that God really started dealing with me more in my heart about thinking about others. Me and my wife, my family, we had, one of our vehicles we had was a Ford Expedition. Of course, we got four kids. And growing up, you know, that's a good family SUV. And we had that Ford Expedition in 2016 for around about 13 years at that time, okay? So, you know, it's about to, you know, break down, stuff like that. And so me and my wife went on the car lot looking for another vehicle. And we went and test drove a car. We didn't get it because, man, it had too many miles on it, okay? And so I remember it was almost dark. We really didn't see nothing at one time. And it was this SUV vehicle. Now, my wife was thinking, because, see, at that time we was going for another vehicle. We had two kids. I think they already was grown. And we had two kids left in the house, which had about a year or two before they would be out. Okay? So we didn't have no itty-bitty little kids. So my wife was kind of like, you know, we hadn't found a vehicle yet on the lot. And so we talking and talking, and I looked, and I saw a vehicle which was like another SUV. And my wife was like, Nate, you want to get another SUV? Because I know what she was thinking, like, hey, I know we got it before because the kid was little, but man, they, you know. And she said, you want to get it? And it's like, in my spirit, what I said to her, I said, yeah, because we never know who we have to help. And I remember when I told her that, it wasn't something at first I really just had deep thought on. It was just something that was given to me, and I understood it. It wasn't like when I said it, I was like, didn't understand. I understood it when I said it. You understand what I'm saying? And ever since then, God really has started dealing with me about thinking more concerning others. And then really in 2017, he started taking me even more deeper. Okay? Amen. And, you know, it brings joy to my spirit to know that when I sowed a seed, it has helped someone who was in need. Like I said, I know I can't, you know, I can't get to everybody, but to do the best I can in the Lord. So that's why, yeah, I would love to be a millionaire. And you know why? Not because I want to sit back, as they say, like a fat cat, but that I may be able to help others, not just to fulfill my needs, but to help others, to sow and help others. That's the thing. It is a beautiful thing, my God, to be able to help others. Now, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you like I always seen this. I hadn't. I knew it was good to do, but actually seeing. See, sometimes you can know of some things, but actually getting the understanding of the impact that it can have is another thing. So not only did I have the knowledge that it would be good to do it, but I got the understanding to understand the impact that it would have. Hallelujah. And see, I didn't always understand that, people. I got to be honest with you. I didn't always understand that. Like I said, I knew it was something good and right to do, okay? You can know some things are good and right to do, but still lack understanding of the impact. That's why when we said, well, all you're getting, get understanding. Yes, it's good to get knowledge, but also get understanding, because understanding takes you a little bit further. And by the Lord blessing me with understanding about knowing to do that good, which would be right, he helped me understand the impact it would have. Amen. So coming to understand that strengthened me in my heart and my faith to not, and seeing that, along with the love of God, strengthened me at a point where it made me want to be a constant giver. Okay? Not just a one-time. Like I said, you got too many Christians out there, they one-time givers. Sometime, maybe twice. Amen. And some of them could give more, but they did like I did. Always talking, well, I ain't got enough money. But I guarantee you, if you let the Lord clean your closet like he did mine, the Tobin said, hey, you've been spending $15 on this, you didn't need that. You've been spending $15, $20 on that, you don't even know how to use it. If I guarantee you, if you let the Lord do that, yeah. I mean, you sow that $20 and you keeping me in dedicating sowing, God will increase your finances that you would give more. Like I told you, understand this. Please keep this in mind. Don't forget it. The Lord will never let you outgive him. You can counsel that. If you think you can give more than God, I tell you, try it. You'll lose every time. you would look foolish. He would never let you outgive him. If God moved on your heart to give somebody $200, you're going to get way more than $200 back from him. That's why he said, he that have pity upon the poor, lend unto the Lord, and what? And the Lord, and that which he have given, will he, which is Lord, pay him again. Amen. See, when God brings your increase, it's going to be more than what you put in. Amen. He's not going to never let you outgive him. You can cancel that. Give you another prime example before I read this from this magazine. Back in the year 2000, I think it was 2000 or 2001, we had a church conference in Rockford, Illinois. Now, before we had that church conference, about 3 weeks before that church conference, one of the brothers in the ministry was calling for a sowing of seed to help the work in Africa, to bless the people in Africa, because they had a need, okay? Amen. And the Lord had, by his spirit at that time, gave me to sow $100. And so what happened was I piddled around. I mean, God gave me something like that. He gave me to do that about 3 weeks early. And so all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, it's time for the conference. So the same brothers at the conference. And I remember I was sitting out there in the congregation, and he was behind the pulpit, and he brought it up again. He said, let us bless the people. Let us sow seed to the people in Africa. And when he said it this time, I knew in my spirit. I said, okay, Lord, you did tell me to get $100. I said, I better go up there and do it. I went up there, and I gave $100. I sowed the seed. Okay. I don't know, was it 30 minutes or an hour or something like that? We had a break. And we was down there, you know, we was eating lunch and stuff. And so all of a sudden, this particular person come to me. And at that time, I was doing radio broadcast. I was on the radio station preaching the word on the radio, okay? And I think that was my second time being on radio preaching, okay? And after I sowed this seed, this person come down there and said, and gave me a certain amount of money. He said, okay, this is from the Lord to bless your broadcast. What they gave me was more than twice what I gave. You hear what I'm saying? It was more, I mean, it was like, wow. I mean, literally, wow. Okay? Like I said, I sold $100. That's what the Lord gave me, said, give $100. And I gave that, and he turned around and blessed me with more than twice. You understand what I'm saying? Please hear me. You'd never outgive Jesus. You would lose the battle every time. In fact, I wouldn't even put a near bet on you on that. No way. You're not gonna outgive him. Okay. Amen. And once again, to be able to just help and be a blessing and to see the impact by sowing the seed. Just like if you were sowing, another way of sowing is time. You can have an impact on people when you sow time, spend time. When you spend time, let's say, teaching people the word of God, okay? You know, people, teaching the word is very important. I mean very to the very, very, very important. And what has happened in many of the churches, we have treated like it ain't. Because, we will preach you to death. We will preach you till you have a fit, fall out, get up, and we'll preach again. But when it comes to teaching, we just real slow on that. Amen. That's why I appreciate and thank God for teachers, true teachers now, of the gospel. The ones that will go out their way to teach people that don't know the word, because guess what? Their heart is to see that person know the word of God. I thank God for him. May the Lord continue to bless him. Amen. Now, I want to read once again from this magazine that Open Doors sent me. And they tell you about the persecution that many of the Christians are going through in other countries and how they was lacking. And I read to you guys yesterday, one of the places was a place called Laos. Now, like I said, some of you heard that. I've heard of it, but I don't know what country it is or whatever. And, you know, they were talking about how that some of the people there can't even afford to buy it. In fact, they wages, average wage for the month working was $50. And they said just to get a copy, okay, of the Bible costs $18. Wow. And so in their report, they're thanking the people who sold the seed to get them more Bibles. They gave the Open Bibles USA, and they was able to give them more Bibles. Now, I want to read to you about Nigeria, okay? Here in Nigeria, as a title on here said, boreholes bring springs of life. Now, they said, Baba, which means father, we have clean water in our village. Throughout this community in northeast Nigeria, cries like this young girl's rang out as families ran to gather around a new borehole Open Doors local partners provided. To these Christians in a majority Muslim community, do you hear that? In a majority Muslim community, the liquid gushing from a new borehole represents life, faith, and answered prayer. They just want clean water. Amen. It goes on to say, often the Muslim community leaders, now listen to this closely. You need to hear this. See, this is what we can't really, sometime here in America, we can't really compute this. It's that often the Muslim community leaders prevent water access to these believers or make sure they're last in line to draw water. You hear that? To get water, women and children collect it from any valuable source, fetching water from rivers and almost stagnant streams that quickly led to waterborne illnesses. Do you hear that? Most of us here in the United States here, we won't take a bath. We just go in there, run water, take a bath. You hear what I'm saying? Through boreholes like these, you're bringing new life, both physically and spiritually, to this Christian community and advancing the church. In 2021, through your support, Open Door provided 10 boreholes to believers in Nigerian villages like this one. Thank you for bringing springs of life. Do you hear that, people? Do you hear that? Listen to the impact. Being able to help people get water, clean water, okay? See, we don't fathom that because, see, we have a fairly good, now, the water system over here many times has gotten off, but it's an upgrade in what they got over there in Nigeria. See, we ain't fathom this. But see, these people over there, now they're talking about the Christians, and they're talking about how that they are in mostly a Muslim, you know, community, and the Muslim leaders purposely either withhold the water from them or make sure that they're last. Why? Because they're not Muslims. See, that ain't hit us yet here in the country of America. But I'm here to tell y'all, hold on to your seatbelt. You better spend this time right now getting ready and tough in the Lord and be strong in the Lord. The Lord said be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We better be spending this time ready getting strong in the Lord now. Because some of y'all that's thinking, oh, it's not going to come this way, you in for a big shock. Kenya, and this is titled here, Persecuted, Widowed Mother of Three Discovers New Hope. Okay, this says, sometimes stories come to our Open Doors team that tangibly reveal God's hand. Buna, I hope I pronounced her name right, is B-O-U-N-A, Buna, an Open Doors discipler in Kenya shares one such miracle. She says, our church had a collective prayer. We taught new believers about prayer and gave them a practical exercise. Pray for a motorbike to help our pastor reach cell groups. Wow. A few days before their baptism, these Christians still had no answer, but then Open Doors offered to support us with a motorcycle. I almost screamed when I received the news. On our way to see the motorbike, I told one of the converts, God has answered our prayers. We are on our way to collect the motorcycle the Lord has provided for us. The new believers were awestruck. Thank you. May God bless Open Door supporters, and may your ears be ever more sensitive to the voice of God for you to act. You hear that? Now, these Christians over there, and listen what they were praying for. Praying for a motorbike to help their pastor reach the cell groups. They're praying so the work of God can be taken. Come on, see. You know what? My Lord. Lord, have mercy on us here in America. Many of us, we are so selfish, okay? Many times we ain't even thinking about the advancing of the gospel. We think about what we can get, how we can beautify the building. Now, I'm not saying have the building all ragged and everything, but if you look at many churches, we spend more money beautifying the buildings so people can brag about how great a building is than we do anything. And these people over here who short on many things over here in Kenya was praying that the Lord bless them with a motorbike so their pastor can go out and take the work to the racial cell groups. And what happened? Those that gave into what? Open Doors. Through that, Open Door were able to get them the motorbike. And said the new believer were all struck. Wow. They were struck. Hey, we got a book. Our pastor can get around with a motorbike. Okay. Over here in America, sad to say, many of us going on TV have went forth to try to convince people that the God life is having Bentleys and big giant houses. But what about the people over there in Kenya? They don't have no Bentleys and big giant houses. So what you say to them? Oh, yeah, you know, you ain't a Christian? Because, see, that's what we portray over here, what the Christian life is. Yeah. That's what we have portrayed. Yes, God wants to bless us with a home. Yes, he wants to bless us with transportation. I'm not speaking against that. But now, look, we have went to the overboard. And now you got more ministers talking to you about sowing a seed in their ministry than really helping the poor. Oh, they said, well, yeah, we help the poor. We give this and that, and they'll show you on TV how they're giving different stuff. But they still telling you to sow into their ministry. Amen. And so many have been caught abusing money, getting Rolls Royces and big expensive stuff instead of, what, helping the poor. And now when the minister bring up about sowing seed, now this is why you get these attitudes from people like, man, I ain't giving you no money so you can get a big Rolls Royce. What's wrong with you? Because so many of them abused it. And I'm here to say you're going to have to give an account for that. Oh, yeah. Another place, Central Asia, okay? Central Asia, okay? And they got a picture of some people here in Central Asia in this book. It says, the picture you see to the right was taken at a discipleship training for young persecuted believers in Central Asia. Now, did you hear that sentence? This discipleship training was for young persecuted, young beloved by everybody, believers, persecuted believers in Central Asia. We can't disclose a specific country for their protection. That's what they got here. They said we can't disclose. Listen, my God, people, do you see us here in America? We ain't seen them. It's Lord. They said right here, we can't even tell you where they at because of their protection. If we tell you, all day we can put here is Central Asia. We couldn't tell you. They got here that we can't tell you the specific country. We ain't faced that here yet, people. And we can't continuously sow to help. What's wrong with us? My Lord. It says Open Doors Partners recently had a seminar for 25 Christians from six house churches, okay? The gathering, which could have been easily raided by police at any time, led to both renewal and inspiration. Here's just a smattering of what we heard from these young people. And it says, these young people said, I repented 20 years ago, and I was told to dedicate my whole life to God, and I was afraid. Today, I have dedicated my whole life to God. Here I receive such a fire. Now with such a fire, I will serve God until the age of 80. Thank you. Wow. Wow, people. Wow. Amen. To be able to help, to sow seed, to help get things to people who are in need, especially persecuted Christians. See, over here in America, some of us look at certain Christians now who don't have much as we have. We look at them with we either turn our nose up at them or look down on them. Talk about, you know, just like you hear the term big wigs. And I've heard with some churches, oh, that's so-and-so, they the big wig in the church. And like I told you before, there are some churches, when you give $1,000 seed, they got special chairs for you. You sit more up front. Now, what kind of stuff is that? Come on, people. You sit up front because you sold $1,000. You get a special treat. No, people, come on. We're going overboard. Listen, I have sold seed in different places, and there's no doubt that there have been people who have sold more money than I have. Okay? Yeah. Glory to God. See, that's why I said to you guys yesterday on part one, I can see a revival of the Lord breaking out first in these other countries. Because these people still stay steady, dedicated to the Lord despite the type of persecution they're facing. I mean, listen, to be worried about the police raiding your home because you got supplies or Bibles and stuff, right now, we ain't got to worry about that. I can order some Bibles from a company here in the United States, and they can be sent to my house. I ain't got to worry about tiptoeing outside, looking around the house or the corner, and see if the police car coming. And if he coming, hurry up and run in what I have, a box inside, so I can hide it. Well, see, they got to worry about that over there in the mother countries, people. See, when you can give to organizations that can help out in that area, that should bring joy to your spirit. But see, when you just still thinking about me, okay, then you ain't giving anything. Now, some of y'all hear me speaking in this today. You there trying to give money. Listen, I'm trying to show you the impact of sowing. The true impact is the true sowing now. Like I said, you know, some of you said, well, these churches act for, let me tell you something. Every church is not good. I'm going to say this straight out. Every church is not good place or good ground to sow seed. Every church ain't no, that's why I said be led by the Spirit of God. Because you got a lot of churches, they just making up numbers. Oh, let's do the 892 seed, okay? The 797 seed, all this kind of stuff, okay? Amen. Now, you may say, well, Brother Nate, is there something wrong if you want to donate to a ministry? No. Okay? Yeah, God will bless you in that. But don't be captivated by these little advertisement things that many of them are doing. Okay? See, just like here on the broadcast, we don't ask for no money. But now, if anybody called in and said, hey, we really want to sow a seed to your broadcast, I would say, God bless you, thank you, whatever God put on your heart. I'm not throwing up there, okay, if you're going to sow a seed, now we need $500. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I've seen plenty of ministers on TV begging. We need this, that, this, this, and that. I'm like, if God called you to that place and have you on that spot, he has to provide. I haven't seen anywhere where he had you out there begging. Hallelujah. This other place, I guess it's called Mozambique. M-O-Z-A-M-B-I-Q-U-E, Mozambique. And under that title is Displaced Families Celebrate Life-Saving Relief. Okay, it says, this aid is a miracle. I thank God for not abandoning us and for creating good people in the world today. And for creating good people in the world who think and care for others they don't even know. Wow. See, that's the true art of sowing, okay? Care for people that you don't even know. Julia, below, and they got a picture of this lady named Julia, said Julia is one of the many displaced believers in Mozambique who received desperately needed food and supplies when jihad attacks on Cabo Delgado province forced hundreds of families to flee their homes. Many ran with only the clothes on their back. Did you hear that? She is one of many who celebrated with worship when Open Door Partners surprised 328 displaced families with packages of food, maize, rice, cooking oil, beans, sugar, salt, tea, and charcoal. Okay? Amen. Kitchen utensils and bedding, which included mattresses, sheets, blankets, and mosquito nets. You hear that? These people celebrate with worship to get these things. See, over here, we ain't thinking about that. And you know who I'm especially looking at us over here? Christians. We're not thinking about that, okay? Because we got the bed and the mattress, the stove, the refrigerator. We got that over here. But see, you got other Christians like in that other country over there. They don't have that. And with jihad coming in, attack them and all that, had them running with nothing but the clothes on their back. That's all they had. So they run into another place with nothing but the clothes on their back. Hallelujah. And see, too many of us over here, I don't think America is going to encounter things. Okay, just hold on. Because, see, as a Christian, they're going to go forward to try to prevent us from getting certain things. Look at the example. Look at what Biden proposed. Look what he did. Look what he went out to do. People, see, many of y'all didn't see what he did was more than just about the shot. It was about control. And as you see this nation get worse and worse, the number one faith that's going to be fought against is Christians. And watch, they're going to start denying Christians necessities and things to make them suffer. You watch what I'm telling you. Because Biden posed that to try to break you. Yeah. He went to messing with your livelihood. Large companies with 100 employers or more, you're required to make them all get vaccinated. Okay? If you don't, companies, we're going to fine you $14,000. Well, you know all them companies are going to be paying $14,000 per person each time and all that. So what? They have to say, hey, the president set this out. Biden, it was all about control. You can listen to him if you want to. Talking about, oh, it was about safety. No, it wasn't about no safety. You're going to take people against their will. And so since they didn't take the cookies and cream that you and many companies were given the first time, because what I saw, even the company I work for, they was even offering you $10 Subway cards if you go get the shot. Some of them even told you, say, hey, you ain't got to clock off your job. You can go on company time and go get the shot. But then when everybody didn't give in to it, Biden them was like, okay, we got to come with something stronger. We're going to threaten the livelihood. We're going to come in, hey, So I'm gonna tell you all you, and then I'm gonna give authority to some people that never had authority to do that. For I'm the president, I'm gonna give it to them. And look what's happened. You ain't bring no nation together. You caused more division. Already we're divided. You caused more division. And you trying to take folks against their will. Well, like I'm telling you now, believers, you need to hear this. The way they set up these laws, that's what they're heading to. They're getting at this point. If you don't agree with us, we're going to make you suffer. And the number one faith that's going to be fought is Christians. Watch what I'm telling you. Because this nation is turning to a nation where they say, we accept all beliefs. If you want to believe a goat is a dog and you want to worship it, we accept you. We accept that belief. Okay? But true standing of Christianity would say God said he created man and he is God only and God by himself and no other God before him. It's going to be a fight against that. And they're going to be especially using these big time celebrities. Look at Oprah. Is Jesus the only way? And look how many followers she got. So whatever Oprah said is bond, okay? Oprah's like a god to many people, okay? I mean, Oprah can turn around and tell and say, you know, a cat don't really have four legs. They got sick. And people would believe, oh, I knew it. Oprah said it. She said it. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I thank God for this opportunity today, beloved, to. I just want you to understand and see the importance of sowing seed to help people you don't know, and to be a continuous sower. See, God, for you to be a continuous sower, hear this. God has to continue to bless you financially. If he didn't, how can you continually sow in that area if he didn't do it? See, he got to bless you continuously financially, not just to supply your need, but to able to continue to sow. He has to do it. Because if he don't, you can't do it. Glory to God. I am grateful for this opportunity to share the word of God with you. Lord, say the same. I will come back tomorrow. And people, I don't know. It might be a part three. I don't know. Whatever the Lord gives. You know, as I'm working on some other things on the side. But whatever the Lord gives, that's what I'm going to come with, okay? If you have me come back with a part three, I will come back with a part three. I'm not coming with these parts to bug you guys, to stress the importance. See, some of you could sow more than what you're doing, okay? Even financially, you could sow more. But you have other things on your mind about you, okay? I know that's something that hit deep and something that may have made you frown or made your eyebrows just come down and reach down to the front end of your nose, okay? But it's the truth. And some of you has just been riding on the wings of excuses, talking about what you ain't got. Well, what happened has happened. You have not let the Lord evaluate what's going on in your house. If you did, you come to find out, oh, man, I could get that. Because one of the things I want to say as I get ready to close here in America, we're known for being big wasters. If the dogs can really talk in a language like us humans, I have no doubt in my mind they will confirm what I'm telling you. Because we got plenty of dogs in these cities and stuff that no one own. They nice and healthy. And how is that? They know garbage day, people. And there's nothing for us to cook 3 days worth of food and throw away 2 days of it. It's nothing for us to do that. And talking about, I ain't got no food. I'm starving. Where are you throwing it away? And so are we big wasters when it comes to money also. Amen. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, for the blessed word of God, I am grateful, Lord, this day for the opportunity you've given in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. So, Lord God, I give you the glory and honor and praise and magnify you because you're worthy to be praised and you're worthy to be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.